standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect, precious cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Number five, standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Hey. Number four, okay. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by the strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. Well, I'm glad we've got something we can stand on, that we can depend on. There's no doubt about that. There's not a lot in this world you can really depend on. Politicians, you probably haven't noticed, but you can't really depend on them too much. And economy, or just your health, or sometimes even your best friends. And but I am glad that there's one we can trust in completely. Never wonder, never doubt. And when you need him the most, he's there. And I thank the Lord for that. But anyway, good to see you this morning. Appreciate you being here. If you're visiting with us, we really are glad that you're here. And honestly, we don't take your presence lightly at all. Realize you could be anywhere else in the world other than here. So I'm glad you're here. And if you're a member, I'm glad you're here too. Sure appreciate the Lord's goodness in this last week of revival. And Brother Tony preached. I'm, my goodness, just wonderful messages every single night, and just had a good touch, good attendance, and thankful for that. Many of you came every night. Many of you came every night you possibly could. And I appreciate that, and certainly thank the Lord for just a chance to come back to church now and listen to the Lord and allow Him to touch our hearts and hopefully live out what the Lord has done in our hearts this last week. And if you're here this morning and you aren't saved, our prayer is that you can get that thing settled today. And the Lord wants to forgive you. He's in the forgiving business because He died for you and rose again. And He just wants you to trust Him and put your life in His hands and allow Him to forgive you and to save you. And I promise you, if you do that this morning, you'll be glad you did. I promise you that. But we want to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's pray especially for those that are lost and backslidden. Continue to pray. I have several in my heart. I want you to help me pray for my neighbor beside us, that the Lord would touch their hearts and they would be saved. And then so many of our missionaries, all of them really, but so many that just really need an extra special prayer, an extra touch from the heaven from heaven this morning. So pray for them. And then there's an updated list in the back. I actually did the list earlier, about Wednesday or Thursday, and I neglected to update it. I've just got Glenn Parker here, but of course he passed away. So remember that family, the visitation's tomorrow, and then the funeral's on Tuesday. So really pray for them. And 89 years old, so him and Thelma's been together all their lives for the most part. So just really pray for that family. And then pray for Kevin. He's got the surgery scheduled for the rotator cuff on May the 6th. Continue to pray for Danny Branch. He's got some sinus infection now. So remember him in prayer. And then Sandy, this is Jane Herring's daughter, has a lot of physical issues going on right now. I talked to her again yesterday, and she's improving some, but she's just not feeling good at all. So really pray for her. And Cody's got some sight issues, some problems with his eyes. So remember that in prayer. And then Karen's brother, Eric, they think he had a stroke. They're not really sure yet, but they're doing things as far as some rehabilitation, that type of thing. So really pray for him. Can you pray for Eli and Charlie and just all through the church? Pray for Tommy. He's still, of course, recuperating, and it's just going to take a long time. So really pray for both of them. Anything on your heart this morning, outspoken? Okay. All right. All right. Let's remember that. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Somebody else? I was going to make sure I mention her before we pray. It's so good to see Betty here, but she's still not feeling a lot better. She's really gone through something the last couple of months, and so let's really pray. So good to see her, but let's really pray for her. Anything else? Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. All right, let's remember this. All right. Anything but uplifted hand? Any burden? All right, the Lord knows that need. Let's gather around the altar, if you will, and let's just ask God just to touch these requests and these needs and this service. Encourage you, whether you're on the altar or in the pew, let's just ask God just to pass by. You're a part of the service just by being here, and I sure want to be a help and not a hindrance. So please just turn your mind and your thoughts over to the Lord. Let's pray for Tony Finney. He's got a special request, and let's pray for their services and all through the country. I guess churches just like us meeting, so we need to pray for them. Brother Tom, you lead us.
Thank you.
saved and we're all, Lord, just open eyes and, Lord, you're going to hate the folks for the things they need to see. I pray for our sister churches that's meeting just like us, Lord. You know those that I think about, Lord, and ask you to bless them and help them. Lord, we lean heavily on you this morning. I ask you for your help and your touch. Thank you so much, Lord, for what you've done. I just thank you for you just showing us again that you love us. Use this time, Lord. May we be sensitive. Touch us, Lord. May no one here be left alone this morning. May you move on every heart. I pray for those that's lost. I ask you, Lord, to open their eyes, Lord, and may the day be the day that they finally just give in and quit fighting. And, Lord, I pray that you draw them. Again, thank you so much, Lord. May we worship you. You sure are worthy. Lord, move. I give you myself, Lord. I give you the service and what you want to do, Lord. It's up to you.
Yes.
I give you the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
All right, Brother Butch.
Sister Peggy's come to St. Paul.
Wretched and blind as could be.
back in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to be saved. I'm glad to see McDonald here this morning, and I'm going to sing this for her this morning. Some calls it heaven, but this old boy calls it home. Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land where Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. Then the saved by grace, there is a rest and praise. In a few more days, it will be mine. Some calls it heaven, but I call it home. Some calls it dreaming. Let me dream on. Some calls it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some calls it heaven, but I call it home. They say that you can't go back home again, that things will not ever be as good as they've been. But I've got good news for you. When heaven comes into view, when glimpsing you'll know the best is yet to come. Some calls it heaven, but I call it home. Some calls it dreaming. Let me dream on. Some calls it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some calls it heaven, but I call it home. Some calls it heaven, but I call it home.
Let's all stand, shake a hand to our brother Rick Dunn.
Thank you. You're privileged. You call it home also. I am pretty much a homebody. I get tired of being there, and I like leaving, but I sure do like getting back, too. What a blessing it is. And I hope when you leave this world, you're going to the good place. And I'm glad that the Lord's made that provision. If you're not saved, today would be a good day. In fact, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not this afternoon, but now. That verse ends by now is the time of salvation. John 13. I am glad to see Miss Barbara and Perry with us. Continue to pray for both of them. Both of them having physical issues, and I'm glad Perry's improving, but still he's going to have to deal with that arm probably the rest of his life. So pray the Lord to just take care of that. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured forth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew whom should betray him. Therefore saith he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Notice he did not say you should do what I did to you. He is not endorsing foot washing here. He says do as I do, not what I do. What he's doing is serving people. And he's saying we should serve others, to do as him. Verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. We're looking this morning at some precious scripture. The time of the Lord's departure is drawing closer. He's aware of that. He knows that. They meet in the upper room and they have such an intimate time together. He's been with these men 3.5 years. They have been with him for this time. They have grown to know him, not just experience what he did for them. But he has grown to know them closely. They have grown to know him in a greater way. And in this time when they're together, Jesus does such an unusual thing. He takes a towel and a basin of water, and he gets on his knees and begins to wash his disciples' feet. I hope you'll listen this morning. I hope the devil won't distract you today. The Lord has got something to say to all of us. And I hope we'll listen intently. But Jesus begins to do something. Hey, why didn't the disciples do that? In every home, at every door, there was a basin. There was a clay pot. There was a basin at the door of every home. And in that basin, there was water kept all the time. And in this upper room, we find that there's a basin somewhere. Jesus found it. Jesus used it. The disciples didn't do it. In that room, we also find out that there was a towel. In that room, we find that there's water, everything that was necessary to wash the feet of the disciples. And Jesus' feet, too, by the way, was there. The reason there was a basin in every home, the reason there was a place at every door was because in that day, in walking in sandals, everyone's feet wouldn't get dirty. If it was dry, the feet would be dusty. If it was raining, the feet would be muddy. And not just for comfort's sake, but for the fact of cleanliness. The first thing that would happen when you had guests, you would set them down, and you or a servant would wash their feet. It was just a common thing. It was not just courtesy, it was a custom. And for someone to be invited to a home, for someone to come into someone's home and not have their feet washed was rude. It was unkind. Everybody had either a servant who would do it, or they'd make sure it was done somehow. And here these disciples and Jesus are in this room, and they've been here for a while. The Bible says when supper was ended, yet no one has said anything about washing feet. What they were doing was discussing who was greatest. Who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Oh, I don't know all that was said there in that room, but I do know this. I want to know. I'd like to know what went on. I'd like to know what exactly was said and what was done, what they thought. I'd like to be able to peer into the minds of the disciples and the Lord and discern what they said and what they did. I wonder this morning, what was he thinking? What was the Lord thinking? The Bible says that he removed his outer garment and he laid it aside and he took a towel and he somehow girded himself with the towel and he got down on his hands and his knees and before the disciples, this is really not a good representation because they, in their way of eating, they would recline so they would be stretched out. And actually, their feet would be above the ground. But he took that water basin, and here he is. Hey, listen, he has the attire of a servant. He has the appearance of a servant. And as he's washing the disciples' feet one by one and drying them with the towel, I wonder what he was thinking. I mean, listen, he's God. He's not just a good man. He's not just an important man. He's not a dignitary. He's not a king. He's not some man of authority. But he is God. I wonder what he was thinking while he, as a servant, washed his disciples' feet. I wonder, did he think about his authority? Did he think about the fact as he was washing those disciples' feet, as he was serving those disciples, which, by the way, had not offered to wash his feet, had said nothing about washing each other's feet. They had come in and hadn't even thought about it. They weren't looking at themselves as servants. They weren't looking at themselves as be someone who aided someone else or concerned for someone else's welfare. But Jesus did. And I wonder this morning, what was he thinking? Was he thinking about his authority? how he was God, very God, absolutely God. Again, not a dignitary, God. Not a king, God. Not an important man, God. He was absolutely, by the way, still is, absolutely God. Here's God doing the job of a servant. He is humbling himself once again. He is lowering himself once again. And as he's washing those dirty feet of those disciples, he knows very much aware. He knows very much. He's very much aware that he is God. God has humbled himself enough to wash the dirty feet of the disciples. I'll say this. It's not exactly right, but I think you'll get what I'm saying. The very hands that made the universe, the very hands that moved and everything that is, was those very hands. Now, he wasn't a man when he created the universe. He didn't dwell in a body then. But I'll say it and you'll understand. The very hands that made the universe are now washing the dirty feet of dirty disciples. I wonder, did he think about his authority? Did he think about the fact that even though I'm God, I'll still do the work of a servant? Oh my goodness, what a blessing that is. It says of Jesus in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. He's washing these feet. Is very much aware of who he is and what he's got. He knew. It says he knew the Father had already given to him all things. It's kind of like a parent who loves a child and they get a little older and they've proven themselves to be trustworthy. And they get around 17, 18 years old, 19 years old. And the parent who is able buys them a car. And they purchase a car. It's paid for, lock, stock, and barrel. And that father comes and gives the key over. I'm sorry, Tommy. You as young as I can find close to me. Gives the key over to the parent. I mean, to the child. He is entrusting the child with the car. It has become his. That key represents everything that car is involved with. He is trusting the child to use the car wisely. That child can do with that car whatever he wants. And if he's trustworthy and dependable, he'll use it rightly. But the power of the car lies in the hand of the Son. And God said, I have given, the Father said, I have given to my Son the key to the universe. I have given him the authority. It's all in his hands. He owns it all. It's under his authority and his control. Whatever he wants to do with it, he can, because it belongs to him. And the same one who knew he owned it all is on his knees washing dirty feet. I wonder what he was thinking about. I wonder if he thought about his authority. If he did, he didn't let it bother him. It didn't cause him to stop. He just kept on washing. I want you to listen just a little bit as I read, just a little bit. I want you to get this. Notice what's going to happen with the Son one day. Hey, his authority, he is God. He is God of God. Hey, I wonder, what was he thinking about? I wonder, was he thinking about his authority? I wonder if while he was washing those old dirty feet, and wiping them, and going to the next one, and washing the next one, I wonder if he was thinking about his arrest. Hey, in a few hours, he's going to be in a garden with these same disciples. And he's going to hear the sound of many feet. He's going to hear the swords and the spears clanging together. He's going to hear the marching of soldiers, hundreds of them. He's going to see the lanterns. He's going to see the see the soldiers and hear their mumbling. He's going to see them as they come to arrest him. In a few hours, he's going to be in agony. In a few hours, he's going to be whipped. In a few hours, he's going to be whipped with a cat of nine tails, and he's going to be crowned with a crown of thorns, and he's going to be taken to a cross. He's going to be driven to that cross. He's going to die there in agony. I'll tell you one thing. If that was my future, I wouldn't be thinking about these sorry disciples. I'd be saying, I need some help myself. You ought to be helping me. You ought to be caring about me. But instead of thinking about himself, instead of thinking about his arrest and letting that stop him from doing what he's doing, he goes to the next disciple and he washes that foot and he dries it with a towel. I wonder, was he thinking about his arrest? If he was, it didn't cause him to stop. The agony he was about to face didn't stop him from serving. He didn't put himself first, he put others first. I wonder what he was thinking about. As he washed the dirty feet of the disciples, I wonder, what was he thinking about? Was he thinking about his authority? I'm God, but I'm still a servant. I've come to humble myself. I've come to help others. I've come to reach out. I've come to cleanse. I've come to comfort. Was he thinking about his arrest in a few minutes? Wouldn't be long. He's going to be in agony, but it didn't stop him. I wonder, was he thinking about his ascension? I hope you get this. Even though Jesus was God and the Son and the Father are inseparable and there's a complete communion and there's a connection and there's a closeness, that even if the Father is in heaven and the Son's on earth, they're still connected. But I still want to say this. I believe the Son missed the Father. I believe he's about tired of this world. For 3.5 years, he's had to walk this sinful world. For 3.5 years, the Father's been in heaven. And even though they're connected and even though they're close, I still think he was thinking, boy, I'll be so glad to get out of here. I am so glad before long. Oh, yeah, I'm going to suffer in a little bit. And I'm going to be crucified in a little bit. But a little while after that, I'm going to rise and I'm going to ascend and I'm going home. We talked about going home just a few minutes ago. Hey, you want to go home? So did the Lord. But that did not stop him. That did not so occupy his mind that he said, I ain't got time to wash your feet. I'm just glad I'm going home. I'm so glad I'm going to get out of here in a little while. Hey, that didn't stop him from getting down on his hands and knees, even though he knew he was about to ascend and go back home, and he's going to sit beside his Father, and the Father's going to say, well done, my good and faithful son. Man, we talk about triumphal entry. We talk about triumphal entry when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And they laid some palm branches in the road and said, Hosanna! That wasn't his triumphal entry. His triumphal entry was after all the Calvary was behind him. And after he rose from the dead, and after he got through a 40 days of still ministering, he went back home. And the Father said, I'm so glad to see you, son. And all the angels said, here he comes, here he comes, here he comes. And he sat down on the right hand of the Father, and the Father gave him a name which is above every name, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But that same God is on his knees washing the disciples' feet. It didn't stop him from serving others. I wonder, what was he thinking? I wonder, who was he touching? The Lord could have just stood up and said, bless you, my children, and just waved his hands. And man, they could have sensed God's touch. And God's blessings in such a real way, it could have thrilled them and helped them and set them on their way. But he didn't just wave across the room. He didn't just speak a blessing. But he got down and he touched them. He touched them. I don't know who was first. I wonder who he touched. I wonder. I don't know. Maybe it was Philip. I do know this. It wasn't Peter, because the Bible says, and when he cometh to Peter. So I don't think Peter was first. I don't know who was first. Maybe it was Philip. He said, Philip, put your feet down here. And you know what? You know what? He's touching the dirty, maybe even muddy, scummy, filthy, stinking feet. But I don't think he looked up and said, Philip, how in the world did you get in this shape? Philip, where in the world you been? What in the world have you done? I can't touch that. I can't get close to that. Oh no, he may have been filthy, and I know he was. But he went in and he grabbed those feet and he put them in the water and he cleansed them around and he rubbed all the dirt and all the mud and all the grime out. And he took that towel and he tenderly washed and dried and tenderly he took care of those feet. And he got through with Philip. And I don't know who he went through to next. I don't know. Maybe it was James. He didn't look up and James and said, I want to tell you, James, you've gone too far. I can tell by your dirty feet. Why in the world? What's going on with you, boy? He went feet by feet, person by person. You know what he did? You know what he did? You know who he touched? He touched the rebellious saint. Just a minute ago, these fellas been fighting about who's the greatest. You know for sure they've been thinking the Lord has come to set up his kingdom. Now it's just about time for Passover. They got to be thinking, man, Passover, that time when the Lord delivers his people, I believe it's getting close. They're so excited about what they think the Lord is going to do. When he starts washing their feet, it confuses them. They have been rebelling against the Lord's will, but that doesn't stop him from washing their feet. He washed the rebellious saint. And then he got to Peter. The Bible says, and when he came to Peter, I wonder if Peter's sitting there looking as he washed Philip's feet and James' feet. Peter thought, I can't believe these fellas letting him do that. He's the Lord. He's God. I can't believe he may not have said it. We have no indication that he said it, but I believe he thought it. Philip, I cannot believe you're letting the Lord wash your feet. James, I can't believe you're letting the Lord wash your feet. I'll tell you one thing. When it's my turn, if it comes to me, I'll never let him wash my feet. And he says it. He washed the rebellious saint. He washed the resisting saint. There's somebody resisting his touch. There's somebody fighting against. Peter said, you'll not wash my feet. Jesus said, I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. Peter misunderstood again and said, well, just give me a bath. But finally, Peter gave in. He relented. You know what amazes me? There's people who are saved, and they live as they please. They don't care much about what God wants, but God's still good enough to touch them and bless them and help them. I want to tell you something. You drove here in a car today. You left a house or a mobile home or something. You're here in fine clothes and whatever health you have. That came from God. He didn't have to give you that. He didn't have to bless us like that. And to be honest, the way we live, he shouldn't. But he still reaches out and says, I just want to help you. I just want to touch you. He not only washed the rebellious saint and the resisting saint. The Lord deals with some people, they just keep resisting. He speaks to them, they just keep pushing it off. But that didn't stop him. But he also washed. I'm talking about, who did he touch? Who were these men? He also washed the religious sinner. Read it. Judas is still there. And the Lord knows him. The Lord knew. Hey, the Bible says, Jesus said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you are the devil, a devil? The Lord knew Judas was a religious hypocrite. He knew he was lost. He knew he was about to betray him. Read the verses. That very night, Judas went out and sold him for 30 pieces of silver, the cost of a slave that had been gored by an ox. And even though Jesus knew Judas was about to betray him, and humanly speaking, because of that man right there, because of that right man, because of him, humanly speaking, he was going to be hanging on a cross in a few minutes, humanly speaking. And yet he still took the old dirty, filthy feet of Judas and placed him in that basin and washed all that dirt away and dried them with his feet, with his hands, with a towel. I wonder, what was he thinking? I wonder, who is he touching? Jesus knew it wouldn't be too long. He's going back to heaven. And the Father would say, I'm so glad you're here. He also knew later on, not too long as far as God's economy. I want to read some verses slowly. I want you to get it. I'm talking about the same one who kneeled and washed the feet of the disciples. The same one that washed the feet of a hypocritical sinner. Here one day is what's going to happen to him. Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Listen closely. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him, listen, that sat on the throne. Listen, and when he had taken the book and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before him, before the Lamb, having every one their harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Listen, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and art redeemed us. Have redeemed us out of God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Listen, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands and thousands. I hope you're getting this. The same one who was kneeling before dirty disciples and assuming the position of a slave knew that one day he would be seated in heaven and all the voices of heaven, the millions and yea, even billions of angels, and every believer would bow before them and say, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy. And it says there that thousands times 10,000, thousands times 10,000, and then thousands and thousands. I ain't got that in my brain yet, but thousands times 10,000. And then he said, just to make sure I got enough, there's thousands and thousands more. Can you imagine all of heaven erupting in praise to him? The same one who bowed down and wash disciples' feet. That's the one I'm talking about this morning. He's the one that we should love. He's the one we should live for. I tried to magnify this. What was he thinking? He knew who he was, but it didn't stop him from serving. He knew where he was going. He's heading to the cross, but it didn't stop him. I'll tell you, I'd say, fellas, it's time for you to take care of me for a while. I took care of you for 3.5 years. I'm heading to the cross. It's time for you to help me a little bit. But he didn't. He served them. Not only what was he thinking, but who was he touching? And then lastly, why was he trying? If you wonder why I said that, let's read what it says. John 13, beginning in verse 21. Same place, same people, same time. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, I want you to listen closely. Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now listen to what he's saying. Truly, truly, you can believe it. One of you, one but 12 of them. I mean, listen, there wasn't but 12. We're not talking about a multitude. We're not talking about somebody in the world is going to betray me and you got billions of people to choose from. There were 12 people and he says, one of you will betray me. Verse 22. Then the disciples looked on one another. Well, at least they do know that the betrayers in their midst, doubting whom he spake. They said, well, which one? Which one's the one that's going to betray him? Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be to whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? They want to know, well, you're telling us one of us. One of us, which means if you're one of the 12, it includes you. They're trying to find out who it is. Now listen to what Jesus said. Verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. Well, now that sounds pretty simple. Here's what he said. There's not but 12 of us. They say, who, which one? He says, the one that I dip the sop and give it to. Well, now, listen, you ain't got to be very bright to know. If he dips the sop and gives it to somebody, he's talking about that person. But listen to these dummies. Listen to them. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Okay? He said, when I dip the sop and give it to somebody, that is the one that will betray me. Everybody ought to know now, right? Nope. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew what intent he spake this unto him. Now how stupid can you be? For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. I mean, listen, I want to ask this question. If I tell you the person who is going to betray me is the one I will give this book to, I'm sorry, Brother Albert, do you wonder who I'm talking about? Are y'all going to say, well, who does he mean? Who does he mean? My point is this. He makes it so clear, my dog Boo-Boo would understand. But the disciples don't get it. They say, well, maybe he sends Judas off to buy something, buy some food or give something to somebody. I mean, how dumb can you be? So my point is this. Not only what was he thinking when he washed their feet, and who was he touching when he washed their feet, but why was he trying? I mean, he can't make it any more clear, and they still don't get it. I'll tell you what I would have done if I'd been him. I'd say, y'all are so dumb, I ain't messing with you anymore. I'm glad I'm leaving in a few hours. I have poured myself into you for 3.5 years. You ain't any smarter now than you were when I first found you. Y'all so stupid. That's what I'd have done. But he didn't, knowing how, I just can't think of a nice word, how dumb they were, how blind they were. He still was willing to wash their feet. And what he said is this, and I knew I wouldn't even get to the thought of the verses. Didn't intend to. He said, what I've done to you, you need to do others. Is that what he said? Nope. He says, as I have done. He says, if I, being God, will humble myself and wash your filthy feet, shouldn't you? Why did he keep trying? Real quick. Because he knew somebody needed comfort. You ever had dirty feet? You ever got mud in between your feet and it dries? And y'all, some of you ain't played in the country enough to know. Man, I remember that. I still remember that. I dirty, gunky feet. They don't only look bad and they don't only stink, but they just, it's uncomfortable. He kept trying because he knew somebody needed comfort. And somebody who would run off and betray him, yeah. Some of the disciples who would run away scared and say, I never even knew him, yeah. But they needed comfort. He kept trying because somebody needed comforting. He kept trying because someone needed cleansing. The whole point is, when you're saved, God gives you a bath. But you walk in this earth and you pick up the dust of the world and you need to ask God to forgive you and have your feet cleansed. He knew someone needed cleansing. He knew those disciples, even who knew him and really loved him, they needed cleansing. That's why he kept trying. He knew that someone needed compassion. Those disciples, hey, what are they doing? They're fighting about who's the greatest. They're not worrying about serving. But I want to tell you one thing. When he got down, being God, got down and started washing their feet, and he said, you ought to do as I do. If I, your master and Lord, wash your feet, you ought to be able to go and wash somebody else's feet. You ought to love them. You ought to care for them. Oh, yeah, they'll betray you. They'll misuse you. They'll throw you aside. They won't care, and some won't even want it. But you need to care. You need to care. You need to care. He kept trying because they needed compassion. Because there'd be somebody who not long needed their help. I think I can summarize this message with this verse and I'm done. Paul said it like this. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. But my burden this morning, to be honest, is this. We have a good God who will humble himself and come to this earth and humble himself and become a man and humble himself and live as a man in this sin-cursed world for 3.5 years. And as a man, but being very God, wash the disciples' feet. And later on, go to a cross for me and you. We've got a good God who humbles himself that much. The Bible talks about him humbling himself even unto the death of the cross. And I want to just ask you this morning, how long has it just been since you just said, I just want to thank you? Because I want to tell you something. 41 years ago, he came to me when I was filthy. Peggy sang it. Almost to the point of despair. I think I was very close to despair. He came to somebody who didn't deserve it. But he came in love and he says, I want to forgive you. You as a lost person this morning, he wants to forgive you. If you've never been saved, he wants to save you. If your sin is still on you, he wants to take it off. As a saved person, even though your feet may be dirty this morning, he wants to help you. He wants to touch you. Let's stand together. Gail, if you'll come. The Lord has spoken to your heart. I beg you to listen to him. Please mind the Lord this morning. Allow him to speak to your heart. Part of washing feet, and I didn't really take time, but it's just a comforting thing. So good to just sense his touch. Just sense his help. Maybe that's what you need this morning. Please mind the Lord. If you're not saved, I beg you, please come and accept him today. Please, while you can, don't leave again still lost. Father, please speak to hearts. Have your will, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you'll come, please mind the Lord. Please obey the Lord this morning. Mind him. If he's speaking to your heart, please come. Be a good time to get some things settled. Why don't you just come and let him wash your feet? Wash that the world away. Wash those burdens away. Part of dirty feet is just a burden. Just that feeling of being dirty or needing help, why don't you come this morning? There's nothing like getting clean, getting help. I'm not talking about just somebody that's in rotten sin. I am talking about that, but I'm talking about somebody who just needs a touch from the Lord. You got a good God who bows low, who humbles himself. Will you come? Thank you so much for being here. You fellas, just go ahead when you're ready, and I'll make these announcements while you're receiving the offering. But thank you for being here. Certainly appreciate it. Do your best to come back tonight and come praying. Ask God just to touch, and just pray the Lord just meet with us. We sure need his presence. And I encourage you, do your best to come back. Don't forget, this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock down at the Fellowship Hall, we're having a breakfast. Pretty much what we've decided is you bring whatever you want to bring as far as, I mean, you can bring what you want to. If you bring a T-bone, just bring me one. But just kind of a covered dish thing. If you want to bring, just go buy Bojangles and bring you something. If you want to do that, that's fine. Or if you want to bring a dish where people can share. Just so when you come, you have enough for yourself and your folks. That's the main thing. And we'll check into drinks. I'm not sure about the drinks, Brother Steve. We have some down there, but and we also have some 2 liters still left down there. So, and you that drink it, we have the coffee, of course. But that's this coming Saturday, 10 o'clock. Just show up with some food. And I encourage everybody, you don't have to be a member. In fact, we would love for you to come as a visitor and just kind of let us just sit around and chat some. And I would like to, and don't forget this, if we can use one table. So many times we just spread out everywhere, and it almost looks like we don't like each other. So if we can just use that one table, I think that'll be enough. If it's not, we can go to the next one, but just to kind of keep us together. I think that's a good thing. We are going to try something new, and or new and old. I don't know if that's the right way. Anyway, we're going to try something. We haven't had a choir for a good while. The reason is simple. Butch's voice is so low, he can't get high. And then I've been the one, the violin or whatever, and that's self-explanatory why we don't have a choir anymore. It's just, honestly, it's just too much on me to try and lead it and then try and preach, and the choir just absolutely exhausts me, and it's not any good either. So Brother Mike Stiginga is going to try and lead the choir, and that'll be the position. And so that means there's going to be practice. Sure can't have a choir without practice. So if you would be willing this next coming Sunday afternoon, not today but next Sunday, 5 o'clock probably, we want anybody who can sing or can think they can sing to come. We need folks, and I'll probably tell you again, but we need people who will sing out and smile. Number one, you're saved and right, and I hope you know that already. But if you can sing even a little bit, but if you can sing well, you need to be here. I mean, well, we need it. I'll tell you, the only thing worse than not having a choir is having a bad choir. I'll just be honest. I'm just going to tell you right out front. And so we want to try this. We'll see how it works. We're going to pray the Lord to touch it. But be here, and please, please, think of two things. Sing it out, I mean, as far as the function, and smile it.